Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good morning. It is not 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America, but it is 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And my name is Sarah Talika, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. Today we are having an early show for a number of reasons. As a couple of episodes that we talked about, sometimes you may have to change or adjust your schedule. So today is one of those days, as unfortunately we'll be talking about what happened in Oregon yesterday. That 10 people lost their lives and expected 9 others were wounded, but also that we have one of our presidential candidates being in South Florida today. So in order to be informed about this upcoming political election, I think we should all educate ourselves as much as possible about all the candidates on all levels, not just federal, but also in the local and the state level. So before we begin, I would like us to have a moment of silence as we commemorate the lives of those who were lost yesterday during this tragic, horrific shooting at the Oregon Community College. Now, as we had a moment of silence for all the lives that were lost yesterday, it is such a tragedy and completely an utter shock what's going on in our country, as this has been the and counting 41 mass shootings that happened this year alone in 2015. And the numbers continually to rise as I've been educating myself on, you know, what the current state is of these mass shootings in our country. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the politicians and all different levels of politics and in our government, there is a discrepancy or there is a disconnect on what needs to take place in gun reform. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, from 2004 to 2013, 316,545 people have died by gun arms in U.S. soil. And this is compared to the data that was received from the U.S. State Department, the number of U.S. citizens killed overseas as a result of incidents of terrorism from 2004 to 2013 was 277. And also the U.S., inside the U.S. report, they found from 2004 to 2013, there were 36 people killed in domestic acts of terrorism. This brings to a total of 313. Now, as this data and the results that I just shared with you all state that there's more terrorism going on within our country than outside our country, and that alone should be a reason why there needs to be gun reform in our country and stricter regulations and laws in order for people who should not have guns to not have guns. I mean, yes, with gun laws, you can't control everything, and people, if there's a will, there's a way. But I think if we at least have a system in place to prevent it from happening, most likely the changes in laws would help to bring down innocent lives that are lost. And it's unfortunate because this young man, who's 26 years old, identified as Christopher Mercer. He was a gunman that walked into a college campus in Oregon. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the community college, but it's a community college in the state of Oregon. And he walked into a classroom and he asked people who were Christians, and those who were Christians to stand up and say that they were, and they were shot in the head. Those that did not give a response or said do not know or did not give responses that do not know were shot in other parts of their body. And so, unfortunately, not only is this an act of terrorism, but this is a civil war, a religious war that's taking place within our country. We're concerned about ISIS and other terrorist groups outside of our country, but are we asking the question what's taking place inside our country? And I think if we do not continue to direct focus, yes, to continue working in ISIS and all these other terrorist organizations outside of our country, but start looking within our country to find out what is taking place and why there's such a drastic increase in mass shootings, especially in college campuses, especially when it's individuals who have some kind of red flags that people have not paid attention to, or even the fact that people are able to obtain a gun in such easy ways. I think there's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And not only that, I think it's a question that politicians need to ask. that they need to come together, what, you know, regardless of what parties they're on, Democrat, Republican, Independent, that they need to come together and find a common ground to where it could be a safety, it could provide a safe community, a safe environment for Americans within our own country. You know, it's one thing to go from the gentleman who did the mass shooting in South Carolina while the group of people were in their church on a Wednesday Bible study, but to be in a school and now people are being marginalized for being Christians. People are being marginalized for whatever faith they believe in. And it's also, I think, a question and a wake-up call for Christians in America. You know, how much are you willing to believe in your faith? And the question that I would ask each Christian is, if you were in that classroom, what would your response be if you were asked, if you were a Christian? Would you deny Christ in order to save your life? Or would you say that you are a believer in order to stand by your faith and not recount your faith, regardless of what the outcomes may be, even if it costs your life? And so, unfortunately, it's something that needs to be changed immediately. It's not something that can wait till election 2016, that many politicians may use this as a platform or one of their issues in order to get votes. But it's definitely realizing that innocent lives have been lost, and this is such a tragic situation that should not have taken place, and that something definitely needs to be done in order to find how can we, on different levels, first talking about mental health, because if many of these individuals have histories of mental health issues, and as a former nurse, and especially in critical care and cardiac, you know, it would not be uncommon to see someone come in with a gunshot wound. It would not be uncommon for someone to have commit suicide as one of the patients that would come in through our units. But at the same time, something needs to be done. There needs to be reform not only in gun control, but there also needs to be reform in mental health issues. How are we addressing those individuals who have red flags? How are we addressing those issues of individuals who do need some kind of treatment for mental health and not bypass it or overlook it? Because unfortunately, the individuals that tend to cause these mass shootings have a history or underlying mental health concern or issue. And I think it's something that if our country does not continue to address it but put it under the rug, as well as gun control, they will continue to have more terrorism attacks within our country than outside of our country. And so I think from that standpoint, if healthcare providers and legislators and politicians come together and do a task force where they can address how can we identify people who have mental health issues, not waiting until they do such a tragic situation or a tragic act, such as unfortunately what's been happening, what happened in Oregon, what happened when the gentleman who shot the two new anchors, the gentleman who shot in the church and back to Columbine, and all these other different mass shootings that have taken place. And so I think it's something we need to ask ourselves. What is America willing to do in order to make sure that our communities are safe? And it's unfortunate that even in the schools, that people are not safe anymore. Even there's been reports that even in elementary schools, they have been having scares of gun violence, that either the kids bring guns to school because their parents did not put the guns in a safe place, or even attempted shootings within elementary schools. I mean, it's just, I'm not a parent, but I could only imagine if you had sent your child to school, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, or even college, and to wake up one day and know that your child is not coming back because of a mass shooting, or your child was a victim of some kind of violent attack. And I think that's such a tragedy, and that's something we need to find out what is the solution to it. Yes, we can't prevent everything, but at least if we have stricter law regulations within our country, especially when we talk about gun violence, and hopefully that would be something that we can do in order to prevent any more mass shootings taking place. And so when we talk about that, I also think it's something when we talk about the upcoming elections. And the upcoming elections and asking ourselves, there's so many different candidates, regardless of what party you're on. I believe there's about 12 to 15 presidential candidates on the Republican side, and I think there's about 5 or 6 on the Democratic side. And not sure about the independent party. But for the most part, the question we need to ask ourselves when these politicians are coming to share their platform with us, or they're asking for our votes, or they're campaigning or canvassing or doing all these different tour stops, the questions we need to ask ourselves is what are the main issues for us, as constituents that we want them to represent us, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or even the federal level. And it's something about not only allowing them to have their agenda, but also constituents having their own agenda and asking them, what are you going to do about gun reform? What are you going to do about the health care? What are you going to do about veterans? What are you going to do about the student loans in the education system? What are you going to do about Social Security? All those major issues that are important to us, we should also be having an agenda and having some kind of, if we don't have solutions, at least some kind of proposal to address the politicians as well. I think it's not only something that we allow them to have full control and tell us what they're going to do with the issues and what their issues are, but also addressing what our issues are to them and tell them what some of our solutions are. And I think for myself as an aspiring politician, I think that's why it's so important to be involved in your community, because as a politician, when you are representing your constituents, you need to know who your constituents are. You need to know what their issues are. You need to know, you know, what is it like on a day-to-day basis. Lately, there's been a lot of back and forth on social media, which I've decided to not be involved in different conversations when it comes to some of the things that our aspiring politicians, our candidates are talking about, especially in the state of Florida when it's talking about a group of politicians have decided to play house. You know, it's something where we have to ask ourselves, as politicians, aspiring politicians, lobbyists, or anyone who's involved in the political process, is asking ourselves, at the end of the day, if you were a constituent and you were in their shoes and you were looking at yourself as a politician, are you representing your constituents the right way? Are you really fighting for the cause of the people? Are you fighting for the cause of your hidden agenda or your personal agenda? And I think, unfortunately, that's why the conversation has been shifted from people are not looking for politicians, people are looking for public servants. And public servants are those who are involved in the community, those who have their pulse in the community and know what's going on. It's not just to say, oh, this is what we believe is happening in our community, or this is what we see happening in our community. No, they are entrenched in the community. They know what's going on in the community, and then they're able to take the community issues and the constituent issues and actually find laws and regulations that actually are effective and will actually benefit the constituents and not benefit them or their own agendas or even party agendas. And I think it's unfortunate what's happening in the state of Florida and Tallahassee, that there's a lot of debate going on. There's a lot of bicker going on, but they're forgetting why they're in Tallahassee. They're forgetting who they're representing at times. And I think, unfortunately, the people who are affected the most in a negative way are the constituents, because we are putting pretty much our lives, not just our votes. And I think when we're voting, we should not take it lightly, because that is your livelihood. That is your life. You're giving a politician the authority to speak on your behalf. You're giving a politician the authority to represent you on major issues. And I think sometimes people think that the federal and state level is so important, but really it's at the local level. The local level in your municipality, whether it's your city level or your township or even in your county level, those are the true politicians that we need to be knowing who they are, what their issues are, how are they going to represent the community, how have they been involved in the community, because they're at that level, that's what impacts us more than at the state level and the federal level. And I don't say don't get involved in the state and federal level. I think it's very important to know the candidates and their issues, but also knowing at the local level, who are your councilmen, who are your county commissioners, who are your city commissioners, and knowing what they stand on, what are their issues, looking at their track record, how supportive have they been in community efforts, how supportive have they been involved in actually finding out what's going on in their jurisdiction and understanding how they can make it better for their constituents. And I think when we ask ourselves those questions and not put so much pressure on the politicians, put pressure on them, but at the same time not put so much hope and pressure on them that they will change if we're not asking for that change, if we don't even know how we can identify that change. And I believe that's why, for me personally, not only am I an aspiring politician, but I want to understand the law so I can go back into the community and educate the community on what the law is. Because unfortunately, within the last couple of years, as I've been more involved in the legal aspect and understanding how does the law affect the infrastructure of a community, I've come to realize that a lot of people do not know their legal rights. A lot of people do not understand what they have a right to as far as their civil rights, their understanding that if they get involved in an altercation, who can they call? If there is a situation taking place in their community or within their personal lives, who can they ask for to represent them on their behalf? When do they need to reach out to their legislators? When do they need to reach out to their commissioners? When do they need to reach out to an attorney? When do they need to reach out to other higher authorities? And even in my own life, not necessarily criminal issues, but I've had to deal with legal issues, and I've had to maneuver through the process not knowing and being well informed on what my rights are when I was fighting for my house, when I was fighting for other legal rights, and understanding, you know, why certain things take place. And even to the point of fighting for a merchandise that I purchased, and the merchant told me one thing, but when I received the information or when I received the product, it was a totally different thing. And not realizing that I had the opportunity that I could have fought for it by going through different processes or different chains of command in order to get my right as a consumer. And so I think it's one of those things that the community itself has to educate themselves as much as possible. There is no longer can we say we did not know. No longer can we say we were misinformed, because in the digital world we have so much access to information. And of course, everything you find online is not true, and everything you find online is not from the proper information or proper authorities. But if we are persistent enough, and if we are proactive enough in the process, that we can understand that we have the right to information in order to make an educated decision. You know, there's a lot of organizations that are representing different groups of people for different issues and different causes, but do we know they exist? We have the NAACP. We have all these other different organizations that we can think about that are representing people and that are fighting for certain causes. We have March of Dimes for Children. We have there's so many other different organizations. I can't think off the top of my head at the present moment, but there's so many ways that as constituents we can be more active in the political process. It's not just voting. It's not just canvassing for politicians. It's not just finding out what the politicians' issues are. It's also being involved. I think it's something, if each person in our country found one issue they were passionate about and fought for it, or found one issue they were passionate about and found out how they can be involved in that process, and then I think we would be at a better place and a better image of democracy, as we live in a democratic nation. But yet, it's unfortunate that what is taking place in a democratic nation is not reflecting that. And so that's the challenge that I give to constituents. That's the challenge I give to citizens of this country, is ask yourself not only what is the politician going to do for you, but what are you going to do? And I think that's a great quote that the late former president John F. Kennedy said. He said, don't ask what you're going to do for your country. Don't ask what your country's going to do for you. Ask what you're going to do for your country. And I think it's something that we can no longer be complacent, is no longer we can be dormant in addressing the issues that are taking place, because if we continue to sit on the sideline and wait for a politician to address those issues, if we continue to sit on the sideline, wait for someone else to address those issues, you know, it may be a long time before those issues are addressed, or it may be to the point that one day it has to hit home, closer to home, in order to wake us up. And unfortunately, I hope that's not going to be the case, that we continue to allow things to hit close to home before we become awakened and be involved in the process, such as gun violence. And, you know, it's, as I'm looking at these statistics, as I'm sharing this information with you all, I'm still appalled about the direction that our country is going in when it talks about gun violence, the direction our country is going in when it talks about police brutality, the direction our country is going in when we even address the political process. It's unfortunate that it's right before elections, that's when there's a lot of interest in the electoral process, and there's a lot of interest in the political process. But we should every day continually educating ourselves on the electoral process and the political process. Because if we wait till election time, then that's when we can get wrapped up in emotions. That's when we can get wrapped up in the politicians and these candidates addressing, sharing their information with us. But we weren't well educated enough before they came and shared their information with us. So I think it's something that we have to educate ourselves. And even the unfortunate situation with Planned Parenthood, what's taking place there, that now that we're realizing what was happening in that organization and all these other things that are arising currently, that we have to educate ourselves as much as possible. We have to continually have our pulse in our own communities. We have to continually have the pulse, know the pulse in our own jurisdiction before we can ask a politician to do it. So once we educate ourselves and once we understand what those issues are, then we are able to keep the politicians accountable, to keep the candidates accountable, to say, hey, we know what the issues are. We understand what the current state is of a particular issue. And these are the numbers. This is the information we found out. This is our agenda. This is our proposal. This is what we believe should take place. Now, what are you going to do about it? How can we come together in order for your agenda and our agenda, as well as what your ideas are, what the community's ideas are, to come together and find a common ground and work together as a community, as a group of people, because we cannot expect the politicians to do everything for us. We can't expect the politicians to answer all our questions. And, you know, I share just a few organizations that we should think about getting involved in, whatever your passion or issues are. I challenge you to go online, find what organization that reflects your philosophy, find the organization that reflects you, and then ask yourself, how can you be involved in that organization? How can you be involved in that cause in order to be able to give in a way that you no longer will wait for someone to do something for you, but you've done something for yourself and you've done something for your community? And that there, I believe, is once we all, citizens of this country, regardless of our politicians, lobbyists, or just constituents, that we take an active role and an active process in our lives, in our political process, in our government, because the government is not always the government is not a very 100% proof process. It's not something that we could look at to say, oh, we're putting all our faith in the government because the legal system is there or the political system is there. No, we also have to take an initiative and take it upon ourselves. And so for me personally, that's why I believe one day I want to run for office, because I feel that as a former nurse and a health educator, going from the healthcare system to now a business owner and realizing all the issues and all the things that need to be addressed there, I can't expect someone to do it for me if I'm not able to find out how can I help myself, if I'm not able to find out what resources and what opportunities are there out there in order to get involved. And, you know, I think even constituents getting involved in the government process at your city level, at your county level, there's opportunities, or even in your local level, you can be a precinct or a committee person or a council person, or you can be a city commissioner or a county commissioner. I also even challenge young people to get involved in the political process. Lately, as I've been trying to find young people to say, hey, why won't you run for office? So what do you think, what causes do you have that you are passionate about, that you want to bring more light to? And I think if we start them young, even middle school, elementary school, middle school, and high school, before they go to college, and not wait till they're 18 in order to be legal to vote, but at least know the process in advance. How do we build children and youth who are advocates for an issue? How do we build people who have a passion and an advocate for a cause or for an issue that is close to home? And some of the issues that I am an advocate for is, how do we have better educational system for our youth? And volunteering and junior achievement, being in the school system, as someone who's very active in the community, understanding that there's some issues there in the educational system. When we look at healthcare, as a former nurse and health educator, looking at how can we have a better structure for our healthcare system. And that's why I was honored to have the opportunity. I was blessed and humbled to have the opportunity to have Representative John Conyers ask me to speak at a Democratic convention in 2008 and talking about the healthcare system and what issues that the healthcare providers face. And now that we have Obamacare, where there's universal healthcare, and of course there are things that need to be tweaked out in it, but at least there's an opportunity to provide healthcare services to everyone. And it's not just those, especially for the working class, that they would come to the hospital and they would not have any insurance because they couldn't afford it, or their employer wouldn't pay for it, or they couldn't afford it themselves to have their employer pay for it, because that would be money taken out of their check. So I think there's all these different issues that are taking place currently in our community, in our country, that we need to address it from a standpoint of not just saying they would deal with it, but how will we deal with it as well. So as we get ready for the election in 2016, as unfortunately another mass shooting has taken place in our country, I've given a lot of challenge, but I challenge everyone to follow the political process, follow the candidates, educate yourself. If you're a Democrat, find out not only about the one particular Democrat candidate that you're supporting, find out about all the candidates in the Democratic Party. And if you're a Republican, find out about the Democrats, and the Democrats find out about the Republicans. I think we can only truly make an educated decision when we educate ourselves in the whole process and know from both sides of the table, not just only focusing on whatever party you stand for, but also understanding what is the other party stand for. Because I've come to realize, especially when we talk about faith, as a Christian, I cannot just only keep myself only around Christians. I have to understand what other faiths are about, or to understand my own faith. And I've learned that over the years. I've learned that through seminary. I've learned that being involved and being in interfaith environments and multi-generational environments and multicultural environments, that the only true way to truly understand your belief or have a strong conviction of your beliefs is not only being around people who look like you, think like you, talk like you, but also being around other people, because then you're able to have your own beliefs challenged, and you're having your beliefs and your ideology and your theology challenged, then you're truly able to have a stronger understanding of who you are. So as we close for today's show, those are some of the things that were on my heart and my mind today, as unfortunately we have another mass shooting taking place in our country in Oregon at a community college that took place yesterday. 10 people's lives were lost, 9 were wounded, and one of those, one of the 10, I believe, is also the shooter. And we pray for his family. We also pray for our country and understanding what is taking place. And especially as Christians, I challenge every Christian to continually pray for our country, pray for our leaders in our country as well, regardless of what party you're on, regardless of what you believe, regardless of what your political views and opinions are. Remember that they are an authority and God has placed them there for a time and a season, and we should respect them, but also pray for them. Pray that God has wise and godly people surrounding them to give them advice and to be their counselors. And also praying that our country would wake up and find out how we can address these ills in our society, from mental health to gun shootings to the political system to the government system and to all the other issues that are taking place in our country. So as we close, I think it's only right that I close in prayer, as this is the job of a Christian. This is the job of anyone who has a belief in faith, in order to strengthen not only ourselves and not only those who need to be comforted because of what this young man has done by taking the lives of 10 people and wounding 9, but also I think it's a duty that if more of God people would cry out to him, then God would answer in due time and due season. Dearly Father, Lord, we call upon you. We ask you, Lord God, that we seek you. We seek your face. Please forgive the sins of our land. Please forgive the sins of our generation. Please forgive the sins of our forefathers. And please forgive our own sins, Lord God, as we seek you humbly, Father. We just ask you to give us understanding, give us clarity and wisdom and how to combat the ills of our society, from mass shootings to mental health, to the political system, to all the issues that have been addressed and will be addressed in the coming season, Lord God. We just ask, Father, that you protect your people, all your people. And, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God, that have lost their lives because they truly believe in you, Father. I pray that heaven has received them, Lord God, and that their faith was an opportunity to be strong. Their faith was an opportunity to strengthen those who are still on earth, Lord God, that we look to them as martyrs. We look to them as witnesses that God's love and God's, and our faith and belief will not change because our life is at risk. Our faith and belief will not change because someone asks us if we are a Christian or not and holds a gun to our head or has a gun in order to take our lives, because we know if we lost our lives for you, Christ, then it means everything. And, Lord, I pray for the young man and all those who are affected by this mass shooting. And I pray for all those who have been affected by all the mass shootings that have taken place in our country, Lord. And I just pray that we find a resolution. Mm-hmm. I pray that we find an opportunity to heal this land. I pray that we find an opportunity to continue to encourage and support and pray for our leaders in this country, regardless of what our political parties are, regardless of what our opinions are or how we feel that they have governed our country. Lord, I just pray that we continue to seek them in seeking you, Lord God, that you will help and lead and guide them in the way that they should go, and help our country to cry out to you and fall back to what its beliefs are, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this time. Let no more innocent blood be shed on this land. Let us find a way that we can find gun reform and that we can change the gun laws to make it stricter, so no more shootings and no more innocent lives would be lost. Lord, we just ask you for your healing power. We ask you for your might and glory. We ask you for your grace and your mercy. We know that your love is unconditional, and people may ask, how did God allow this to happen? God, is not your fault. We live in a fallen world, and I just pray that people continue to seek your face in all that they do and realize that you are a loving God, you are a merciful God, but yet you are just, and your justice shall live and reign and have its being on this land and throughout the world. In the Lord, in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we close today, I hope we all reflect on this weekend and what has taken place, and how are we going to find a way that we can be involved? How are we going to find a way that we can be more proactive in our community and the issues that are important to us, but as well as all the issues that are important in our country to make it such a great nation? I am honored and delighted and grateful to be born in America, to be an American and call this country my home, my land. And I will continue to stand by America and continue to stand by the country's leaders, regardless of what party they believe in, because I know at the end of the day, it's Christ that I serve and it's Christ that I look to in order to lead us where we should go. And I hope you all will consider the same, and realizing that no politician is perfect and that politicians are human beings as well, but yet we still hold them accountable, but yet we also come up with a plan in order to hold them accountable, not to their own agenda, but to our agenda as well. So as we close today, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your Friday. The presidential candidate, Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton in South Florida, and excited to hear what her plans are, what her issues are, and, of course, how we can make her the next President of the United States of America. So I hope you all have a great week, a weekend, a great day, and a great weekend, and enjoy. It's not too bad outside in South Florida. I guess I'm a meteorologist as well, because lately I've been checking out the weather and sharing it with you all. I just think, you know, sometimes South Florida is just so hot, and you never know when it's going to rain. But I'm just grateful that God continues to shine on this country, and enjoy the beautiful life of South Florida, even though I would love to move and it's too hot to be here, but I guess that time will come. Well, you all take care. My name is Fayola DeLica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. We are here every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America, and we will resume our regular schedule. Nope, it's not 2 p.m. today. It was 11 a.m. Eastern Time, but there's a reason for the change, and I will let you all know the platform of Mrs. Hillary Clinton when I hear her this afternoon. You all take care. Bye-bye.